If you listen to this podcast, you clearly appreciate quality. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store or a snarky boutique, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works. Computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, a candidate for the State Senate in the 17th District, which some people mistakenly say southwestern Wisconsin. Oh, it's more than southwestern Wisconsin. It's central Wisconsin as well. Chris Marion joins us. Chris is from Blanchardville. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Great to be here, Sly. It's super fun.
All right. Introduce yourself.
Well, I am a small organic farmer from Blanchardville. My farm is called Circle M Market Farm. You can check that out. I grew subscription vegetables for many years with a CSA model.
And as now, I don't know what that means. You have to explain that to me.
Community-supported agriculture.
Okay.
So this is a way of having people pay ahead of time, and then they get boxes every week through the growing season.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a hot, relatively new model. Great way for smaller and beginning farmers to get in on agriculture, and wonderful way to monetize a small property.
Right.
But it's a heck of a lot of work.
Right. You also have animals on your farm?
I do. I do manage grazing with sheep and goats and steers, and then I have hogs that rotate through my vegetable gardens.
And you have time to run for the state senate?
Well, I didn't plant vegetables this year. My animals are pretty easy to take care of. My biggest enterprise on the farm right now is a bed and breakfast. We opened our home up to take guests in after our kids left. And the B&B was so popular, we added two vintage campers.
You're not much into downtime, are you?
No, I like to work hard.
Okay, so that's your business venture?
Mm-hmm.
What about your public service?
Yeah, so I, for many years, ran the fastest growing and one of the largest farmers union chapters in the state right here in South Central Wisconsin.
Okay.
And stepped down to run for office. But my experience there led me to run for the Lafayette County Board, which I love. I already admired local government because as a farmers union president, I visited a lot of town boards, county boards in my area, and Green Rock and Lafayette County, and kind of fell in love with local government. And I'm completely smitten with local government. I think it's the rawest form of democracy we've got. And that's one of the reasons I'm running for the Senate.
All right. You're running against incumbent Howard Markline, who defeated Pat Bomhack 4 years ago and Dale Schultz retired. This part of the state is interesting in that as opposed to Dane County and Waukesha County, where there is a deep red or a deep blue hue, there's a lot of independent voters that live in South Central Wisconsin and Central Wisconsin.
Sure.
A lot of people it's rare in America, but there are more independent voters probably in this area than most other parts of the state. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we're primarily agricultural. That has a lot to do with it. I mean, farmers are independent. We have this driftless topography over much of this district. Even though the district has shifted and morphed over time with gerrymandering, we still kind of sit on top of the driftless. And those smaller acreages kind of lend themselves to unique enterprises. There's a lot of really cool, interesting entrepreneurs in this district. And I think we're a heck of a lot of fun. This is the best district to run in. And I feel bad for my colleagues who are running in other places. This is the best district ever.
Your opponent in the Wisconsin State Journal this past weekend said that, in fact, he has nothing to do with Trump. He has nothing to do with other Republicans. He's just Howard Markline, and that none of that other stuff has any effect on him.
Sure. Well, Mark Klein and Walker both went to the Republican convention and were delegates for Trump. So make no bones about it. They supported him, and Mark Klein ran on a platform of independence when he came in after Schultz, because Schultz was known as an independent person. But if you look at Mark Klein's voting record, he's anything but independent.
He voted for Foxconn.
Oh, he most certainly did, and he's defending it right now. And the cornfields all throughout Lafayette County, Richland County, they're full of Foxconn billboards trying to sell this to the farmers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how's a farmer going to be helped by Foxconn?
No farmer is going to be helped by Foxconn. No, very few people in Southwest Wisconsin are going to be helped by Foxconn. And of course, the money that we found, $4.4 billion at the latest accounting, that doesn't even include the $90 million for roads that went there. That came straight off the top of the budget that we could have used for schools or broadband, all the things that we actually need to thrive out here.
Well, Walker turned down broadband money in the beginning of his tenure as governor.
Oh, sure. And Mark Klein was completely on board with that. In fact, yesterday at a parade, a gentleman came up to me and said, I just want you to know, I see that Howard's ads are all about how he's going to fund, he's been funding schools and broadband and roads, which anybody who's paying attention knows isn't true. But what Mark Klein told him when he refused the money was that, hey, you shouldn't have moved to the country if you wanted broadband.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost a basic human right now, having internet access, because you can't function.
Oh, sure. I mean, my business, I tell people all the time, I'm on 20 acres, half of which is a wetland, and I make a great living on that property because I'm right outside of Blanchardville and I tie into a TDS reclaimed phone line. I've got great internet. My business is completely run on the internet. I don't do any print advertising. I don't do any advertising. I'm on Airbnb and I have my own beautiful website, and I've got people from all over the world staying at my bed and breakfast. I bring about 450 people into Blanchardville a year.
So you aren't running from the perspective of somebody who's had a lifetime career in government, although you work in government now. You have the perspective of being a small business person.
Sure. I'm the only person in this race who has run a local business, who has made a living in a town of 800, and who has local government experience. I think that completely changes my perspective. My perspective is completely different from Howard Mark Klein's perspective.
Okay. So when Howard Mark Klein came in, you know, first the Assembly, then the Senate, they passed a bunch of tax cuts for manufacturing and agriculture, no strings attached. How has that worked out for the farmers in this district and manufacturing in this district?
Sure. We can't get a manufacturer to come into Lafayette County, for instance, because we've got 2.4% unemployment. We have a housing shortage, and we simply don't have a workforce to provide. So our issues at this point are not job creation or, you know, creating bigger facilities for people to work. Our issues are, how do we work on training, keeping, attracting a workforce? Now, in terms of the manufacturer and agriculture tax credit, look at Wisconsin versus the rest of the nation. The nation is in a completely dark time for agriculture. I have people telling me it's worse. And this is the worst it's ever been in their lifetime. But Western Wisconsin actually had the highest farm bankruptcy rate in the entire nation in 2017. So whatever we're doing here ain't working for farmers.
What do you think Mark Klein and Walker have done that's been the mistake?
Well, Dairy 2020 was, a misapplied incentive, and I think that we're misapplying our incentives. I think Foxconn is kind of the cherry on top of this whole, you know, mistaken sundae, because we flooded our market with milk and we didn't change track soon enough. And I think a lot of that has to do with This state government has not been very nimble in responding to market pressures because they're so obligated to the donors that have a stake in these manufacturing and agricultural credits.
Yeah, people think of agriculture as monolithic, but it's not.
Heck no. And our future is not in a monoculture when it comes to agriculture.
Back off the mic just a little.
If we're gonna continue to be an agricultural state, we are gonna need to invest and preserve our diversity. Where we're succeeding, where our farmers are making money, is where they're able to do something new, different, niche, pivot, do something to get off the top three commodities.
So just supplying milk for cheese isn't enough anymore.
Well, is it? How are we doing? How's it working out for us?
So you say the unemployment rate is low, but people aren't making enough money. They're working two and three jobs and they don't have health care.
Sure. I mean, I know Walker and Markline. I've been in lots of settings with Howard Markline, because I attend a lot of town meetings and we're in a lot of settings together. And he's very fond of quoting the low unemployment rate as a success of this administration. And I think exactly what you mentioned, this is a failure of wages rising. I mean, I personally know lots of people who work multiple jobs, school teachers who have to have two and three gigs on the side to make it. In both public and private school settings, and that is simply not a recipe for success or retention. Who wants to continue to live under that setting?
And what about healthcare?
Yeah, I have been talking about a solution for accessible, affordable, accountable healthcare for a long time. I've been to D.C. lobbying for a keeping the ACA, but tweaking it, primarily because as a farmers union president, I recognize that farmers need access to health insurance to be their very best at farming. Our farm families are either both working off the farm, and in some cases have multiple jobs to support their love for farming. And we can't do our best when we have to look off the farm for our income and for our insurance.
Well, Act 10 negatively affected a lot of farmers in this area because one spouse in many cases worked for the state. And when you bargain in good faith with the state over years and don't take pay increases to protect your health care and your pension, and then they pull the rug out from under you and you're making... You know, I think everybody thinks every state worker makes $100,000 a year. They don't.
Right.
A lot of them make $40,000 or $35,000 a year.
Right.
That $700 or $800 a month that they had to pay was a huge hit.
Well, it was also a trust breaker, right? I mean, they had negotiated over time with Walker for the lower wages in exchange for the great benefits. And I see this in Lafayette County. We can't offer a competitive wage, but we sometimes can offer a nice benefit package. And, prison workers, I've been spending a lot of time talking to the prison guards. And what we've done to our correction system, basically asking workers to do 5 15-hour days in a row. I mean, the day length.
Well, it puts them in danger.
It puts them in danger. And I think it puts the inmates in danger. It's not a good situation for anybody. And there's no way we're turning people out of our prisons into society at their best.
That's right. You have a correctional facility in your district.
I have quite a few.
Yeah.
Yep. So we've got Boscobel and we've got the secure treatment facility up Sand Ridge.
Up in Juneau County. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's been an adverse effect on the economy of this district.
Oh, completely, completely.
All right, we'll talk more with Chris Marion. She's a candidate for the state Senate. Coming up in November, she will be running against Howard Markline, who is no Dale Schultz. We'll be back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, our friends at Madison Firefighters, Local 311, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and, of course, the Teamsters, Local 695.
injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by Madison Computer Works and the Axley Law Firm. Joining us again, Chris Marion. She's a farmer. She is a member of the board, the county board in Lafayette County, and she is the Democrat running for the state Senate against Howard Markline, who has about a 0% rating when it comes to protecting workers. Obviously, this is a site that supports a lot of working people's issues. Will you support workers if you're elected to the legislature?
Absolutely. I think that we were a state that was proud and strong and great for working families, and we're not anymore. And I think that should be a top priority for everyone, regardless of party. I think we have to recognize that until we become a state that's good for workers, we are not going to succeed.
So we talk about Dale Schultz's independence. This district has only had only one Democrat represent it since I've been around, and that was Katie Morrison, who was elected in the Watergate year in 1974.
First woman in the Senate.
Right. And she defeated Gordon Roselip.
The butter guy.
The famous butter guy, right. Okay.
From Darlington.
So it was hard for her to hang on to the district. But the district's changed a lot. But there's still, we get back to the independence thing. How will you be independent from your party?
Yeah, well, look, if anyone has ever been on a county board, especially a rural county board, you understand that in local government, we don't put a lot of stock in party politics. You kind of need to come together. You need to get things done or you're not going to get the road plowed. We have a very practical mandate and mission. And frankly, when I came out as a Democrat, a lot of my county board colleagues were shocked because I play really well with Republicans, and I intend to keep it that way. I didn't come up through the party structure. I, though I am a proud Democrat, I am not entrenched in the party system by any means, and I think that's one of the things that makes me a great candidate for this district.
The state living within its means. I mean, there was always there's always been a streak of Wisconsin progressivism that's humble, and we don't spend beyond what we have, right? Is that a priority for you?
Yeah, I again, that's a local government thing. We don't have big budgets to play with, and we don't have the ability to borrow. We also have levy limits imposed on us by the state, which I find really insulting. But that makes us work with a little all the time. I'm a small business owner. You only have what you have. You know, you can't spend beyond your means. And I think it's a really interesting narrative, obviously, that I encounter all the time, knocking on doors, that Republicans are fiscally responsible and Democrats are not. That just, we all want to be fiscally responsible. Anyone in government, anyone who's taking on a government position, wants to be fiscally responsible. And if you look at this administration's record of borrowing to get the transportation work done, there was just this expose 2 days ago in the State Journal about how we, the DOT double paid contractors that they were squeezed by, and that led to us losing federal funding. Markline knew about that. He's on the Joint Finance Committee. It doesn't matter if he's an accountant. If he doesn't hold his party accountable, then there's no fiscal responsibility.
How do we fix the roads? How do we pay? I think we know how to fix the roads, but how do we pay for fixing the roads?
Yeah, that's the $1 million, $1 billion, $1 trillion question.
Well, look,
isn't
a
it?
State like Oregon has this test where they put trackers in people's cars and charge people by the amount of mileage. Now, there's privacy issues with that one.
Sure, sure.
That seems like the most equitable way to do it. You can see my Suburban out there. I do my share to keep the roads paid for.
Yeah, yeah, like my giant farm truck. Well, look, the goal of legislators, the mandate is to come up with a vision that is something approved by and desired by constituents, then to make plans for how to achieve that vision, then to make a budget for how to pay for that vision, and then to carry it out. And what's happened with transportation is we have paid for studies, we have hired experts, we have put professionals in the bureau, and yet we haven't carried out those plans. We haven't made budgets. We literally have no plan for transportation. Gottlieb.
Mark Gottlieb, yeah.
Yeah, one of many ex-secretaries of Walker who's come out with criticizing him says, we have no plan. We haven't followed the plans we made, and we are just having a scattershot approach to transportation.
And the governor says, well, that's just a political difference. But the truth is that, he was in his cabinet.
He was in his cabinet. He was a political appointee. Same with Ed Wall. I just read his book on corrections. And Wall, you know, whatever. These are human beings trying to defend their own positions. But the fact is we have been completely fiscally irresponsible with transportation and with corrections, and that we haven't maintained the infrastructure that's decades of voters before us invested in.
Well, and some of the decisions, I have to say, tearing down a perfectly good building, it may have been ugly and looked like it was created in East Germany, but tearing down Hill Farms and replacing it with a new building seemed like a bit of a waste of money. I understand it's hard to retrofit old buildings with the wiring needed for today's technology. That seemed like a waste of money. And then you find out that the new building doesn't even have a retail location for customers to pick up their license plates or driver's licenses. And then they put a driver's license bureau in a place where nobody can take a bus to it. Now, that doesn't necessarily affect this district, but it's kind of a sign of poor management.
Yeah, I think we see a lot of poor management in this administration and a lot of big, shiny, bold reform talk that doesn't play out on the ground.
So are you for raising the gas tax, going back to when we indexed the gas tax? What would you support?
Yeah, I think we need to start with indexing. That was a bipartisan agreement. Everyone was on board, and I've been told by transportation officials, probably Republican appointees who are now, jaded, that when Walker decided to run for government, when he decided to run for president, there was no way we were ever going to index the gas tax. And it's been off the table ever since. To me, that's a political football, and we're all being held hostage so that this complete tax reduction dogma can be obeyed. Let's just start there. That's not going to solve our problems. We need to do more than that, and I think we need to get creative. And I think that when we flip two seats in the Senate, mine and one other, and we have a blue Senate and a red Assembly, we are going to have a lot more productive conversations about a lot of things, including how do we solve our most pressing problems in a way that's practical and not politically motivated.
All right. Let's save maybe the most important for last, and that is education. How have the Walker Mark Line years affected schools in the 17th Senate District?
Really adversely. I mean, we just had the arena shut down. Lone Rock was a little bit before, and these communities are heartbroken. I think that maybe only someone who lives in a very rural place, and I don't know where your listeners are at, but I want to let you know that our schools are the jewels of our little communities. Our school is the center of our world. It is our entertainment. It is where we meet socially. It's everything to us. And when you destroy a school, either by consolidation or by just not funding it enough to keep the roof from leaking, you tear at the fabric, the very fabric of small communities. I live in a town of 825. The school is all we got.
So how can we change school funding without taxing people out of their homes?
Yeah, well, some of that has to do with who bears the burden of paying taxes in Wisconsin. As a small business owner and as a homeowner, I shoulder mm-hmm. a lot of the weight of the government along with other people like me. And we don't see our manufacturers carrying a burden.
Because they were given a big blanket tax cut with no expectations of return.
Yeah, and I believe in corrections. I'm not a crazy liberal where, like, we always have to be in line with this agenda. The fact is, we need to incentivize quality of life and workforce development right now. We don't need to incentivize low-paying job creation. So if we have a limited pot of tax dollars, we need, again, this is the same thing with the dairy incentives for that Walker didn't turn away from soon enough. We need to put our eggs in a different basket.
One of the groups that's going to spend a lot of money against you are Scott Jensen and his Betsy DeVos.
Oh, yeah.
Money that takes public school money and puts it into vouchers, in many cases for wealthy parents that live in suburban Milwaukee.
Sure.
Right? It's money right out of this part of the state over into the part of the state where some people basically are having their kids' parochial school education subsidized, even though they don't need the money. Howard Markline has gone along with all of that.
He hasn't just gone along with it. He's led with it. I mean, when he ran for the first time, he had lots of funding from, what is it called, American Federation for Children or whatever, yeah, whichever one it is. But
whatever ridiculous name it is.
He was leading on vouchers from day one. He had the voucher money behind him, and we didn't even have voucher schools out here. Now we do. I believe we have three, maybe four in the entire district. And in the meantime, thousands of dollars are being cut off the top of every single school in the district. And look, I'm sympathetic to the needs of young people who are falling through the cracks in cities and in rural places. My parents grew up really poor. They both lived in projects. And they both went to private Catholic school on the dime of whoever was donating to make that happen for those kids. And that, I think it's great to have private schools available. Look at all of them. We have a ton of communities in the 17th that raise tons of money for their private schools.
But don't rob Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly. We can't fund two separate streams. We can't fund two separate education systems.
So would you support completely reversing what Walker and Thompson have done, reversing part of it? What would you like to see?
I would like to see a conversation about it. I certainly don't want to expand the voucher program. I certainly don't want to keep giving more money for special needs kids who go to private schools than who go to public schools. So, you know, there's a lot of things we need to reverse. I homeschooled. So I homeschooled my kids halfway through, and then they went to Pecatonica for their halfway. So I am sympathetic to folks who are paying money and putting time into their kids' education. But I did that on my own dime, and I was happy to do it. So I don't think we need to support the voucher system.
Finally, if people would like to help you, I know Scott Fitzgerald glibly said, "Hey, well, she's nowhere.
She's Howard Markline. Nowhere.
Howard Markline's on TV, and she's no." How can people give you a hand?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm actually everywhere, like in person. And anyone who follows me on Facebook or knows me asks me all the time, when do I sleep? And so I am, as they said in the a Associated Press story about me, I'm running a ground and pound campaign. I'm young. I have energy. I'm blessed with fantastic capacity and good health. And I've got a lot of great friends out there. So we've got some wonderful groups that are helping us make up for that deficit in funding. Help me. Well, I've got a great website.
Okay.
Chris Marion. Let's see. What is the website? I think it's chrisforwisconsin.com, but my name is spelled K-R-I-S-S. So that's a little different.
Okay. And that's where people can get, donate right there.
They can donate or they can sign up to help. If you're in the district or even out of the district and you care about flipping the last two Senate seats.
This is ground zero.
It's ground zero. This is it. The New York Times tells me that there's a New York Times article going to come out. My neighbors in Blanchardville were so delighted to have the New York Times there for our homecoming, taking photos of our awesome homecoming parade and hanging out with Rachel and Ray's afterwards, interviewing people. We're a flipping big deal out here in the 17th. And
I like that.
We can flip this district.
Chris Marion, thanks for running.
Yeah, it's a blast. I love it.
Appreciate you coming on the show. This is SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.